It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk FM 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333. Lots to talk about tonight as we head towards another NFL playoff weekend with the Colts going out to Denver 4:30. On Sunday, we'll have the broadcast for you here, as we will have all the playoff broadcasts for you. And a quick update to what we said on Monday night, we will have Bob Lamy's broadcast, the official Indianapolis Colts broadcast on Sunday afternoon. Again, that'll start about 3:30 or 4 for that, and go on into the Colts at Denver. We'll preview that for you here in just a little while. Talk a little IU basketball here in a little while. An absolutely atrocious and embarrassing effort on Monday night. We'll handle that in just a minute. But before we do, since we haven't been on the air live here at WGCL for a little while today, and we've got some updates. Of course, it's going to be really, really cold, and it's already really cold, but it's going to get colder and windier and worse overnight and into the morning. Everyone around the area seems to be putting their schools on two-hour delays. Of course, you don't want to assume that, but they're coming in fast and furious. So if you're in the listening area, the delays that we have at this time for you, MCCSC is on a revised schedule, whatever they exactly call it. It's a two-hour delay, basically, for everybody. Richland Bean Blossom, also two-hour delays. Brown County, two-hour delay. Eastern Green, 2 hours delay. Bloomfield, two-hour delay. Spencer Owen, two-hour delay. And those are the closings we have in the general area for now. So keep your eye out if you're outside of those areas. But most everybody's operating on a two-hour delay because of the cold and the wind. Fun times. We'll all enjoy that tomorrow morning also. 333-2665 is the phone number. Heading up to East Lansing, unfortunately. Fortunately, we don't have to go back because we went up there. And Glasson, you and I talked about on Monday that if you want to start taking the Spartans in any form lightly, despite the way they're playing, good luck with that.
Bad idea.
They play awfully well, awfully hard at home. And the fact that they hadn't been was going to get somebody's attention eventually. And it got their attention. They absolutely blew the Hoosiers' doors off on Monday night. Let's give credit to Michigan State for playing their brains out. But before we do, and I did,
I thought a bunch of kids that are sick.
I thought they played as hard and I'll say a little bit as spastic, I think, on the defensive end in a good way as I've seen them play this year. And a lot of times you see that out of the Spartans. But the Hoosiers clearly on the other side of things, not ready to play, not ready for that. And looked like they just absolutely got blitzed and were not ready for the intensity of that game. We talked, a lot of people talk, hey, wouldn't you be happy going 1-1 on this road trip? And I'd say yes, but I would have liked to not be embarrassed at the end of it.
Not under the circumstances shown there. So that's kind of the fine line you walk with a team that you don't know what to expect much out of. The big games they've played this year, the big opponents they've played, they're about, what, 50-50? Beat a Butler, lose to a Georgetown, lose to a Louisville, beat Pitt or SMU, if you want to throw those as big teams. I think those teams are all under 500 in their conferences right now. I know it's early, but they're not running away with their leagues. Washington State or Eastern Washington or Washington Central, whoever that was. Again, Indiana showed you what they've been for the last year and 15 games. They've been inconsistent. And the part that drives you crazy is when you don't run back on defense, that's not because where you were ranked in the talent services. When you don't sprint back on defense, that's not because you got slow over the, you didn't have Christmas dinner in between the last two games. So that's the frustrating part. Some night shots aren't going to go in, Dave, and you got to find another way to win. And what Indiana showed you on Monday night, that plan B is few and far between. There were lineups on the court where you had that I remember was Blackman, Johnson, Zeisloff, Hotzel, and Emmett Holt. I don't know which of those guys is going to put it on the deck and blow by you. The times that Troy Williams, Yogi Ferrell, Blackman, and were out there, Stan Robinson, they had problems getting to the basket. So the dribble drive offense, when it doesn't dribble, doesn't drive very well. Don't forget that. How many times did you see passes exchanged in between the three-point line and half-court line, running that weave, Indiana never being able to turn the corner, had to settle for 18, 19-foot jump shots, and none of those went in. That was the problem. And when you don't make them, and those are the ones you're forced to take, it wasn't like Indiana had 12 missed layups and were getting shots. They didn't get shots. That was the problem. And the other thing that drives you crazy on the defensive side of the ball, at one point, I think it was 23-4 at one point. Does that sound right?
Yes.
23. It never got to that. It was 19-4 at the 9:29 mark. Michigan State made one three-pointer. So it wasn't like they came out.
It wasn't like they came out
and a guy just said, hey, I'm going to tee up four or five threes. And
he shot 44% in the first half.
Which isn't great.
3 of 10 for on threes. I mean,
that's not good.
It was easy shots that they were making, and mostly it was 18% for the Hoosiers. You said something about him being inconsistent. I would jokingly argue this was the most consistent game they'd played all year because every area of the game pretty much stunk. I mean,
it was
in the first half in particular. It was just awful. Again, they got blitzed like they didn't expect to get blitzed like that.
Well, there's two ways to get unblitzed, and one is find ways to get to the foul line. No, if you're a good foul shooting team like they are, get to the foul line. But when you can't beat anybody off the dribble, that's hard to do. When you don't have a post presence, no one to throw the ball into the post, well, how are you going to get near the basket to get any shots?
Yeah.
When you don't grab any offensive rebounds, how many shots did they miss? All of them? What do you tell me? They shot 18%?
It was 5 of 28 in the first half.
What is that? 18%?
18%.
It's terrible. So that you had 20 chances for offensive rebounds. How many did they get?
First TV timeout or two, they were not getting good shots at all
because they
were not playing offense worth a darn. They were getting blitzed on that end by the Michigan State defense who was basically they were going at every screen. They were not letting any turn whatsoever. We're not concerned whatsoever with the screener. And then on top of that, there was a period of about 3 or 4 minutes where they had 5 good three-point looks in a row. I mean, good ones.
Yeah.
Missed them all horribly.
And then they had some bad ones as well where absolutely. Got late in the shot clock.
But even the good ones they did have, they couldn't
remember, Zeislav's only three-pointer he made in the game, he got fouled on. That should tell you exactly what you need to know about all that. But after watching the game this afternoon before I came in, I tried to watch it right before the show, so I've got it fresh. The first 5 shots of the second half, I think I've got – I want to see who it is here. James Blackman Jr. out of a foul. So it's Indiana's ball. The foul's at 19:09. The three-pointers by Blackman's at 19:05. So that means the ball was inbounded to him. He caught it, squared his defender up, took a dribble, shot it, and it barely hit the rim. The next time down the court, Robert Johnson decides he's going to try it on his side and didn't hit the rim or the backboard. It was a complete air ball. He missed the rim by a foot.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2 possessions in a row, right? So you're already down 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even care what Michigan State's doing at this time. Right, so you get one bad shot from a freshman, then you get another bad shot from a freshman, then you get a turnover by a freshman who tries to go around the corner with his head down and dribbles it off
after
his foot.
After a foul by a freshman too.
After a foul, that's right. But that's on the other end, so that's not a huge deal. So then you go. The next one is a Yogi Ferrell, I believe, three-pointer that wasn't a good shot. And then he finally makes one, then misses one, and then Perea catches the ball at the free throw line and thinks, I don't know what's going on there, makes a move, puts his head down, has a running, whirling dervish shot that barely nicks the front of the rim. Yogi's three-pointer before he made one nicked the front of it. He thought he got fouled on it. Remember, he was going down the court.
Right.
He was all up in the referee's business. And then Pereira does it after that. And then Nick Zeislav, catch and shoot three a little bit later with 32 seconds left in the possession with a hand in his face. So everybody contributed to badness out there. Michigan State did what they wanted to do because they did it through layups. And remember, Indiana puts pressure on other teams by doing what? Not guarding them. Not changing defense 17 times. Seth Davis called it out. He said, this team can play 7 more defenses. Mm-hmm. They're not going to stop Michigan State.
No, they weren't.
They didn't. And you know what? We'll talk about this when we get back. There are guys at sea who have played before, and there are guys at sea who have never played before because what are we running this time down the court? What are we running this time down the court? And by the time you figure that out, Tum-Tum Lou Rawls Nairns laid the ball in. Brandon Dawson's got a dunk. Denzel Valentine's got an offensive rebound.
Yeah.
And Travis Trice sitting a wide open three because we don't know if we're guarding space or guarding players. When you play poor defense, simplify it. Don't complicate it. But I don't get paid $3 million a year to sort that out.
Well, nothing seemed to work on Monday. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we get back from the break. Ohio State comes to town on Saturday. They won a big game in overtime last night up in Minnesota. So, they're not quite as bad as you might make them out to be either.
Nope.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. few programming notes and updates, go to our website at WGCLradio.com for school closings and delays. There are several two-hour delays.
Yeah, no closings. Everybody's delayed for the most part, and you'll see those now, and everybody should be ahead of the game with our new text systems and email systems and everything else. You should know that, but we'll help you out as well. WGCLradio.com. You can't miss the big closings and delays on the right side of the homepage.
Some programming notes this Friday. We kick off the new year of our local basketball schedule. Came off South last week, but we got the big game this time. North at South this Friday night, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is the tip-off over there. 9-2 North going to 7-2 South. So that's a big meeting coming up. And then over the weekend, we got all the NFL football that is going on. 4 o'clock, it starts on Saturday with pregame for Baltimore, New England. And then Carolina at Seattle is the night game. On Sunday, we've got Dallas and Green Bay with pregame at 12:30. And we'll kick it over to Bob Lamy, not Westwood One.
Following
right after the end for the Bob Lamy broadcast of the Colts at Denver. It kicks off about 4:40 or so. Kind of an interesting matchup there. You might have heard of it before, once or twice.
Yep.
But before we get there, we're going back to East Lansing. Look, there's a lot of blame, I think, from the standpoint of not being ready, all the intangibles that go along with this, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit more. I want to ask you one thing first that concerns me on a go-forward basis. Michigan State took every high ball screen and threw both guys guarding people, at the ball handler over the top of the screen and shut off the dribble drive completely out there. Is that something everybody can and will try to pull off the way that Michigan State pulled it off in the first half on Monday night?
Obviously, their scouting report was good, no question about it, and Michigan State's got some better athletes than other teams do, for sure. Tom Izzo's a pretty good coach. He has some pretty well-drilled defensively on what works and what doesn't work. Remember, number 12 Maryland was there last time they played basketball. It was 17-14 at halftime, so Michigan State can guard you. That shouldn't be a big surprise there, but Indiana, again, you have to find a way. When screens happen, things have to happen. If they jump the screen, the slip man's got to go, and you've got to find a way, or you've got to rotate somebody over to help him out, or the guy with the ball has to bust the double team. When it's 6'10", Matt Costello, turn the corner. How many times did you see in that game Troy Williams would back it out or they'd fan dribble away when Costello popped out? Turn the corner on him and go. Mm-hmm. Make him reach out and grab you if he gets by you. We didn't attack. We were on our heels, Tom Crean. Indiana was on their heels. I don't play for the team. Indiana was on their heels, and Tom Crean was exactly right. They didn't attack. They didn't do anything with their offense, which is the pressure point for Indiana basketball to make them change, shift, get out of position, do anything. They didn't. You saw them jump the screen, and we said, okay, we're going to fan dribble away and kick it out and start over instead of attacking and going through it, going around it, or stepping through it. So there are ways to do that, and that's part of Tom Crean's frustration. You've seen times where Robert Johnson splits that. You've seen times where Yogi Ferrell will get into it and draw the foul. None of that was happening. They almost said, "Hey, it's Michigan State. Geez, let's just get out of their way. Let's see what happens."
And as you mentioned, the screener didn't seem to be doing anything. Standing there watching.
Some of these lineups weren't conducive to driving to the basket. There was times when you'd have a ball screen on the opposite wing, and you would see a man at the top of the key, a man at the opposite wing, and a man in the corner standing. Mm-hmm. When you stand, you're easy to guard. When you stand, people can play on the help side and cause you problems. Mm-hmm. Standing, watching, and waiting for the ball is not when Indiana's effective. When Tom Crean talks about going through the paint, good things happen. Why? People have to drop. People have to recover. Then your shooters can spot up and get open. Standing four around the perimeter and having Emmett Holt stand in the post isn't offense that's going to beat any good teams.
Right.
It's not happening. You saw a great Hannah Perea, Emmett Holt, whoever, Colin Hartman. Those are lineups where people are going to say, fine, throw it in there. We're going to guard them one-on-one, and we're going to stay on all your shooters. Mm-hmm. Now what do you do? So what Indiana learned from this game is they have to have a different plan of attack. They have to have a different something, and that's good because sometimes you think, hey, look, we're getting 85 points a game. No one stopped us. What do we really need to change? Well, guess what? Everybody watches film. Everybody has, at the Big Ten level, has 87 graduate assistants, and their only job is to catalog. What do you do on a high pick and roll left? What do you do on a high pick and roll right? What do you do with Johnson on a pick and roll? What do you do with Farrell? What do you do with Blackman? And they spend all week doing that.
Yeah.
That's their job. So this, we're not surprising anybody anymore. And the individual plays we try to make, were okay. They weren't great. They weren't terrible. There wasn't enough of them. We all stood and waited for someone to make that play, and you saw a handful of times in the first half and the second half, hey, Yogi, here's the ball of four.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when it doesn't work. But when Troy's not driving, when Stanford's driving and throwing up bad shots, mm-hmm. when you're not feeding the post, not you know what? Get mad at Prey all you want. Get mad at Holt all you want. Get mad at everybody all you want. They can't throw themselves the ball there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not shifting the defense. You're not even making them guard if you don't pass it into the post.
Right.
There's so many different things that you can make a defense react and switch and move and shift with. Indiana stood. That's the part that drove Crean crazy,
right.
And that's the part that should drive fans crazy. The Cecil-ness of the offense.
Yeah.
You stood and you watched, waiting for something to happen instead of taking it to them and making something happen. Give Michigan State credit in this. They have good athletes.
Uh-huh.
They have good defensive principles, and Indiana couldn't blow by them at their leisure and get any shot they wanted at the basket.
No, and again, I think in the first half you saw Michigan State. It looked like that wounded animal we talked about. I mean, they played that way.
They didn't even start. Well,
I know. Well, he said he was sick, too.
He was.
And I don't want to give them all the credit for this happening. I don't think that's entirely it. And I think part of the reason you can point to why IU didn't show up on their own also is the rebounding numbers. This isn't a great rebounding team, but it's been a much better rebounding team in the last several weeks. It got beat handily on the boards, 50-28. Again, they have done a much better job recently. This was not that game. They gave all kinds of second chance
points. No, it wasn't. And they gave Michigan State plenty of chances to rebound because they had a season low 50 points, a season low 5 3-pointers made, a season low 28% from the field, including 17.9 in the first half. Indiana got to the foul line 13 times and made 11, but that's one of those empty numbers. You need to do that in the first half.
Right.
The game's 19-4, and you're 0-7 from the 3-point line. That tells me try something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Try to crack the nut a different way. He tried different lineups, but you know what? You're not going to take Nick Zeisloff and make him a dribble driver. Nick Zeisloff is a spot-up shooter.
Well, he's not trying that.
That's the point.
He mentioned two people in the postgame.
Which we haven't even got to yet.
Hunter Perea, and he mentioned Troy
Williams.
Both guys have played only 3 or 4 minutes in the second half. Hunter got in foul trouble in the first half almost immediately and barely played.
A minute 24 seconds.
Yeah, look, Troy Williams has been on a significantly elevated arc here in the last few weeks.
This was a huge thud.
I mean, the second they brought up
the Victor Oladipo comparison, the second they brought that up,
he's been playing well for the last month.
Michigan State,
but this was not particularly.
So he's a sophomore. He's 15 games into a sophomore year. I get it. That's why I thought that comparison was a little quick to jump. I don't care what the statistics are, whatever thing else. You can't have anybody at this level. I don't care what class they're in. I don't care what they were ranked. I don't care about anything. If you're in a starting lineup in a Division I road game and you play any kind of minutes and get one rebound and that's
don't
it,
score,
and don't score, that's the for me, the slate's wipe clean and you got to start over.
Well,
if you don't show up.
More so if you're our second or third best scorer of late.
If you don't show up in the big games,
right?
I can't hear the barking. Don't bark to me about this or that. You want to tell me what happened against Tell City State. You want to tell me what happened against Texas Southern. You want to tell me what happened against Lamar. I'm not listening to it. I hate that because it's not fair to the kids. The kids aren't talking about themselves. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah.
The Troy Williams has not come out and beat his chest and said,
I'm Victor Oladipo. I'm on Vic's
path. Watch me.
Yeah, exactly.
His mom might have. That's different. Mom's saying she wants. She's a proud mom. That's cool. I'm all down with that. You can't go into a place where you never win twice since 1991, and you can't do that. Hannah Perea shouldn't surprise anything. The one surprising thing with Hannah Perea for me was his head coach's quote after the game about him. I fell out of my chair. I checked every single beat writer that was on that game to make sure that wasn't misquoted, misprinted.
No, it was part of a bigger statement.
But the statement was, I'm not even going to misquote this. I'm going to bring this up
and read
it verbatim. Hannah Perea has been here for 2 years and hasn't worked hard at all.
Well, what he said was, Hanner did not work hard for 2 years at all. And then he said he's been better, and tonight he just absolutely didn't show up.
He gave you a little bit of both, 2 years.
But he gave you exactly what shouldn't surprise you, and that is that he didn't work for 2 years.
Wow.
Well, he's again.
Wow, right? He got a DUI. He hasn't worked for 2 years.
Does that surprise you?
The people on his teammates.
What did I tell you before the season?
His teammates have to look at that and say, this guy's not working hard.
Before the season, what did I tell you? Who would be starting at center at this stage of the year?
What
did
I tell
you? I told you Devin Davis. I said at the beginning of the year. It was partly because I didn't expect Hunter to be great at this point. I didn't expect anything out of him.
So Hunter coming off the double-double at Nebraska after getting into early foul trouble there.
And it was a really, really great second half of Nebraska. It was.
But the problem is you hit a grand slam and you strike out the next 30 at-bats.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're 1-for-31.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Had them done.
And you can't have that against a big team.
You're not getting the home runs.
And again, I talked about this the other morning. It's kind of like Charlie Brown and Lucy with the football. You get a little excited. Hey, hey, Michigan State's down. Hey, hey, Indiana, big road win. Only had one last year. Well, they've only got one this year. And they go into that game, and you just start thinking about the what-ifs and the maybes and everything else. And the next thing you know, it's 50-20, 30 minutes into the game. Yeah. The good news, they don't count aggregate scoring in the Big Ten. It is one loss and one loss only. That's what you do. You don't burn the tape. You show them the effort or lack thereof.
Hell out of them for a day.
And you show them about not running hard, and guys with the flu are running by you. And there were times off made baskets, Indiana was getting beat 3-on-1 up the court the other way after made baskets. You know what that is? That's comfortable. That's, hey, we were awesome at Nebraska. Look at us. I guess they forgot about that last 4 minutes of the first half and last 4 minutes of the second half. Well, where they just did enough to escape.
They did not show up, and no amount of playing a better second half made any difference after that ugly first half.
So you go from 2-0, coming home, sitting on top of the league with two road wins in your back pocket, to a bucket full of how are they going to react questions. That's what inconsistent basketball is, and that's what Indiana is right now.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk FM 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, programming notes. Friday night, we've got high school basketball returning. North heads south, to south, to play the Panthers. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. 7:30 is the tip-off for that. We'll have both coaches on the Chalk Talk on Friday night. And then Saturday and Sunday, we have NFL football starting at 4:30. On actually make that 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then we've got both games on Saturday, both games on Sunday. We have Westwood One for three of those, and we'll pick up the Colts official broadcast with Bob Lamy on the call for the Colts game 4:30 on Sunday. So all kinds of football this weekend. But before we leave college basketball, the Hoosiers invite. Actually, didn't have any choice in the matter, but they bring in Ohio State to town this Saturday at noon. And it's an Ohio State team that played almost as bad of a preseason schedule as we did. Started off the Big Ten with a bad home loss to a decent Iowa team. We're not going to give Iowa credit there, of course. But it's a team that has struggled to score. They did a business against Illinois at home. But then last night with an impressive overtime win, physical game up at Minnesota. And all kinds of complaining both ways, back and forth. You know Thad Mata is going to get in the ref's ear. But a big game for them on the road, in overtime, in the barn, up there. It's hard to play up there. We all know that. And it's a physical Minnesota team right now.
Yeah, and they led wire to wire. Ohio State did. But they played really well.
Yeah, Ohio State played well, got taken overtime and didn't let that break them down. They win with a bucket towards the very, very end. D'Angelo Russell went for 25 in the first half, didn't score in the second half, put two in overtime. But that's a big win for Ohio State, so their confidence has got to be sky high.
It is, and they're a good team, and they're kind of defensively disjointed as well. If you've followed along with Ohio State, Mata's been playing a ton of zone, and this team has been man-to-man forever. He's been playing zone because he didn't think guys could guard people one-on-one. But guess what happens when they switch back to man-to-man against Illinois? Shut them down, forced 20 turnovers. Illinois went in that game, fifth in the country in turnover margin. They left with 20 turnovers and about a 17-point loss at Ohio State. So the man-to-man defense worked. They got into it last night. They've got some size. They've got some girth. And they led there by, 45-34 with 18 minutes to go in the second half. So Minnesota did fight back in that. And then Loving hit a shot. And what was the last play of the game? Minnesota's coming down the court. They got 6 seconds to go. Ohio State pokes it away when they're trying to run a screen. They chuck up a half-court shot. It's not even close. So, again, defense for Ohio State's a little bit more important. We know Shannon Scott, he's been there forever. He's good in passing lanes. He's smart. He's a senior. He's big and strong as well. Not a big scorer. Not a big shooter. Sam Thompson, we know, can jump out of the gym. He's on every highlight reel every single year, but he's not the greatest shooter or scorer. But the Russell kid is impressive. The Russell kid already has an NBA body. He's left-handed, which makes him goofy anyhow. He's a little bit thicker than James Blackman Jr., but he has no problem shooting. He has no problem putting the ball in the air either. I think against Louisville, he has 20 shots.
Very good offensive player. He's a little mercurial. He is. Maybe does things.
He's not a great shooter.
A little faster, a little more you'd want him to.
He's a little bit. He's a scorer, and there's no way around it. He's pretty good at the foul line. He's really good at getting his own shot. And then you throw in Amir Williams. You got the kid from that transferred the league kid from Temple. It gives him a couple minutes here and there.
Yeah, he's not playing a lot.
You got a couple other freshmen slide in and throw some points up. So there's a reason they're ranked, and their one loss was at home to Iowa, which isn't a bad team at all.
No.
Ohio State never plays a very difficult schedule, so for them to go out and bag a road win like that, very solid after having two at home to get their feet wet. So here you go, Dave. They're all of a sudden 2-1 thinking, hey, look, Indiana, we've had some decent success over there in the last few years.
We can defend them, we think.
Yeah, and they aren't, and we're not the best offensively, but we know they're going to give us some opportunities to create some things as well. And they're like, hey, get a win here. All of a sudden, we're 3-1. And going back home, I'm guessing, for a couple, after you play 2 at home and 2 on the road, I don't think they'll force them to go 3 or 4 on the road.
They have 4 of 5 on the road.
There you go.
Starting with Minnesota.
And Indiana's thinking the same thing. Hey, we're back at home. Defend our home court. But I tell you what, Ohio State gets a cookie here. Number one, school's not in session.
Mm-hmm.
Could have played this game on Sunday. Maybe you get a little bit more students than you would. It's a noon time. That's a terrible time.
Yeah. Fans are still asleep.
Yeah, and if we don't give them anything to cheer about, they tend to sleepwalk through that.
Yep.
And Indiana, again, wounded animal theory is great. I don't think Indiana can play much worse, but Ohio State brings that level of athleticism, Dave, that you saw from Michigan State.
Yeah.
They might not be as good basketball-wise. They're close. I don't think there's a noticeable difference between
the
two teams.
They've got some players with talent. They've got some athletes that are more athletes.
I think Michigan State's a little more balanced offensively.
Yeah, they've got Amir Williams attacking, who has a lot more potential at the center position than the Michigan State guys do, but he always seems untapped.
It's never offensively.
It just never seems like they're
He'll
able to get
shots,
him going.
He'll grab rebounds, no question about it. Loving.
Got a tech last night yelling at a ref.
He should have. John Higgins Harris, terrible. He was right.
Well, that's true.
He was right, yelling at him about his frosted tips, as I remarked about. But anyhow, Williams' presence in the post, Dave. So
yeah, that's big.
He doesn't have to go out and guard Hanna Pereira. He can guard the basket, which, again, Indiana's going to do what on Saturday? What is their number one focus on Saturday?
Get the ball in the paint.
Through the paint. Any way they can do it. But now they face Amir Williams. What Michigan State didn't have was a bunch of shot blockers. They couldn't even get to the second level on any of that. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Again, Shannon Scott's a really good perimeter defender.
Sure.
Russell's athletic enough to defend the perimeter. Sam Thompson, we just told you, can jump out of the gym.
He's their shot blocker.
But he's 6'5". Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. So he can guard again. So you're going to see another tough defensive thing, which you usually do.
Well, the interesting thing to me
is
we
mentioned Michigan every night.
No,
can't do it.
Interesting thing to me is the Amir Williams, and whether it's Emmett Holt or Hanna Pereira. Again, Coach Crean after the game suggested maybe it's going to be Emmett Holt this week. It's going to be a combination of both.
But
it's an interesting matchup because you've got two guys. One is a freshman. One is acting like a freshman against a guy who's been around forever. And even though he has his limitations, Amir Williams does.
You don't have to worry about him beating you.
You like the big, huge body in there and the physical presence.
It is, to keep him off the glass. That's your one job to do if you're Emmett Holt. And Hanna Pereira, they're both going to play, guys. And if you start a guy, and again, guess who didn't start the second half? Williams and Pereira the other night. Guess when they came in? 17:35. They're in the game.
Right.
If you don't start, you're not there for the jump ball. Okay, no, gotcha.
They tell you to run all over the place, and they take you out.
It's not a big deal. It's how many minutes you play, and if it's winning time, who's on the court at winning time? But Williams, you don't have to worry about offensively from outside of 3 feet. So what does that mean? Good fundamental defense, get in position, just force him out of a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to shoot jumpers, but what he's going to do, he's going to block shots, he's going to keep balls alive on the offensive glass, and he's going to get defensive rebounds. So that's what Indiana, a little bit different angle, because Costello really wasn't a banger on the inside.
No.
The Schilling kid is more of a 3.5 than a 4. Yeah. Athletic is all get out. But,
oh, nice players.
And Valentine.
They're not the big, thick guy there in the middle.
Mark Loving's not going to kill you. He's not. Mark Loving's like a poor man's Deshaun Thomas. He can get his own shot, but he's not fast. He's not slow.
He's not looking for shots.
He's not
like
big.
Thomas.
He's not right, but he can get his own shot. Is the point, because he's 6'8" and a half. Mm-hmm. Where he can do that. You can't leave him open. He'll knock down any open jumpers. But that's Indiana shouldn't have that problem. You know, I'm telling you what Ohio State does well. They should know it. What right. goes well. Make Shannon Scott knock down some 3-pointers. Right. Make guys that don't shoot it very well shoot it very well. But what you can't have is Amira Williams 16 and 14. You can't. I agree with you. You can't. You know why? Because all his come from 1 foot away, and he's going to make them all.
That's exactly
so
right.
So make Shannon Scott shoot 22 footers. Make Sam Thompson shoot.
And
jump
again,
shots.
part of the interest of that from my
Try
standpoint
that.
Too is you're coming off the game where after the game we're ripping Hanner because he's not in the game. He's not, got no effort. He's hugely inconsistent. Does that get into his head to the point where he takes it seriously and has to have some and has a great game because of the challenge? Does Emmett Holt step up into that?
Here's the problem.
My fear is after hearing that and hearing that Emmett
Holt
is going to be in the starting lineup,
now?
That Emmett Holt looks at that and gets all crazy because all of a sudden now he's got the pressure on him of stepping in there and being the
there
savior
of
that.
And that's what happens.
So,
you have a guy that
that's
your
why
head
it's
coach
intriguing.
Said hasn't worked hard here in 2 years.
Yeah.
What makes you think he's going to work hard tomorrow? What makes you work? Until you see it. This is what it is. This is a earned business. You earn your playing time. You earn your bench time.
Yeah.
It's simple. If you don't run up and down the court, if you don't do what you're told, you're not going to play. That's simple.
Prediction time. Who's your
prediction? Win? Indiana needs to win this game, so I will say they will win this game. They need a game in the 70s.
Yeah.
You saw 70 points against Nebraska on the road,
right.
50 against Michigan State. Every category against Michigan State offensively was the worst of the season.
Yep.
You can't do that 2 games in a row, can you? I don't think so. The friendly confines will help. What crowd we do have is usually good. It doesn't need to be all students. We've seen that before. And the other thing is Ohio State on their road trip, Dave, their little 2-gamer this week, they've got their first one. So in the back of their mind, they're thinking, hey, we're 1-1. It's not the end of the world if it doesn't go our way on Saturday. So let's hope the Hoosiers turn back into the hurrying Hoosiers, where we talk about great things like 3-pointers made, leading the league in scoring average, made shots, field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, all the positive things. Only they can change. Those are things they need to figure out.
Hoosiers win 78-72.
Has to be that number. We knew they were going
to
win the 60s
get up there.
Last night.
Again, it doesn't have to be 80s and 90s most
That's
nights.
That's fine. But, I'll take my chances up there, too, because I don't think Ohio State can keep up with that.
They've got to score, and if Crean doesn't have their attention right now after that game, I don't know how
well,
they get it, but I
he
think
said,
he does. And, they've played
he
well.
He questioned the leadership, too, Dave, and that makes you wonder.
Have,
That's a bad word
they
of 15
They have played
games
well
in.
At home in games against big opponents. I'll give it to them this time. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave and Glass with In the Zone. All right, you're back in the zone. Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Last few bits of housekeeping here. Again, you can go online to WGCLradio.com and see all the delays. Haven't seen any closings yet in the area, but plenty of delays. Just about everybody on a 2-hour delay if they have them available to them. And you'll want to check those out. But cold, cold, cold in the morning, so take care. Programming notes, Friday night we've got North at South, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk with both coaches and 7:30 tip-off for that. And then Saturday and Sunday we've got the NFL playoffs here on WGCL. They start at 4 o'clock on Saturday with we've got Baltimore and New England on Saturday, and then the evening game is Carolina at Seattle. And then we bring it in at 12:30 on Sunday with Dallas at Green Bay. And once that's over, we kick it over to Bob Lamy and the official Colts broadcast for the Colts at Denver. And let's go ahead and look at the Colts at Denver since we've just got this segment here. The Colts do the number again on the Bengals. Bengals missing some weapons. Now the Colts I'll tell you what, they look a little banged up out there. Their offensive line is beat up a bit. Played well in that game. The key question, I think, there, and I don't know, I think it'll come to roost at some point. Maybe it's this game, maybe it's not. Got to turn some of those field goals into touchdowns. But more importantly, I think for this team is, can they duplicate that kind of defensive effort against Peyton Manning and all the offense that Peyton Manning has? Andy Dalton is no Peyton Manning, sir. I've watched Peyton Manning.
No, it's not. Yeah, but you know, it's funny weapons. You bring up Peyton Manning. We've seen Peyton Manning 100 times in favored playoff games here in Indianapolis not turn in a performance that made us all happy. So it has happened before. You're not going in. This is we've done this program a long time together, and we have talked about some really bad Peyton Manning playoff games that have resulted in losses. So let's not forget that. That is completely on the cards. He is not younger. He is not healthier. He limped home to the finish line. Mm-hmm. Three of his last four games killed everybody's fantasy playoffs coast to coast because he wasn't throwing any touchdown passes. He was turning the ball over. He had, what, 180 yards in a couple games? This is not Peyton Manning with 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and has destroyed the league. Andrew Luck leads the league in touchdown passes. He might lead the league in yards passing
as
well.
In interceptions or turnovers,
well,
too.
Well, he has 16 interceptions. That's one a game, and he had zero in his last
several
game.
Several fumbles.
Yep, he sure did. But the point of the matter is this is not going up against, Sandy Koufax in the 60s in the World Series.
No, not right now.
Denver's defense has had some injury problems as well. They're good. I get it. But again, we've seen Peyton Manning as Colts fans turn in some performances indoors on turf.
And to illustrate that,
scratch your head.
Their last loss was at Cincinnati on the 22nd of December on a Monday night. And this is a Cincinnati team that Colts
wasn't
just beat.
Very good.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. And he hasn't looked very good. They've been running
weather.
The ball more anyways. But, it makes you wonder. There's no question about it. I look at it again from the Colts standpoint because I've said for
that
the last
Cincinnati defense
3 years.
Against a bad offensive line didn't get anywhere near Andrew Luck more than
four
times.
No.
So how they got to Peyton Manning is that gives Colts fans hope.
Well,
I'm telling you.
That's fine. Every week's a little bit different.
Yeah,
I don't know what this Colts offense is going to look like against Denver's defense. I like the Bengals defense a lot better than I like the Colts defense or the Broncos defense. I mean, just across to starting off the day. Now, they lost a couple linebackers in that game that didn't help them out. There's no question there. But ultimately, what helped win that game, the defense was absolutely fantastic against the Bengals, and it hadn't been fantastic in recent weeks. And so there's your other question. You've got to slow down a Broncos offense that still is diverse and has a lot of weapons. Can they do that is the first question. Again, it's not a Colts defense that scares you on a person-by-person basis, except for their corners, I'd say. But it played
news.
Awfully well. Well, exactly.
You can
guard. What killed the Colts the first time they played the Broncos?
Julian Thomas
and the linebackers. So can they turn that around is the other question.
The one thing that you know and you've seen it happen, when Peyton Manning has people at his feet, he is not as an effective quarterback.
No, exactly. You want pressure up the middle.
Seattle gave you the blueprint in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You're not Seattle. I get that. You do have some guys that can cover, and you can take some chances somewhere else because you have guys that can cover.
You have to blitz.
This
team has shown to get pass rush, it has to blitz. It's not getting it from Eric Walden and from Bourne Warner on a regular basis.
Newsom's
been nice when he's been in there.
Yes.
But it's not a dramatic, four-man rush.
You have to tackle.
Pass rush.
You can't have an off-day tackling. Jarrell Freeman and his buddy, DeQuell Jackson, 1-2 in the AFC in tackles. Mm-hmm. They've done the business most of the year. They can't have a game where it's, there's DeQuell again.
Whoops.
Getting busted up three or four times. Again, the best thing that happened to him, his first playoff game was last week. He settled in. They've got that buzz off. Him and Cribs, guys that haven't been in that arena before, that should be gone. It should be more of a business-like environment this week, and this week will be different. But you have to do your job. You can't do three or four other jobs. If the running backs are going to run for Denver, you're going to have to make plays in the hole because, again, LeRon Landry's nice in the run, isn't he?
Yeah.
When he gets there.
Well, it's a Broncos team that's been running it more.
I mean, he's got to get there, right?
He started this game and played most of this game at safety, whereas they've been playing a lot of three safeties in a lot of different looks.
You're going to see a lot of nickel and dime as well.
I get that. Here's the problem is this isn't a LeRon Landry game.
No. Nope.
I mean, unless Broncos come out in 6 and 7 linemen, which they very
they've
well could,
done. Right.
Then that's a LeRon Landry type of game. If he's got to run around covering Julius Thomas and some of these guys.
Well, not a lot of guys can do that anyhow, though.
No, but not at his size in particular.
Right. But the problem is you got to get to the quarterback. You have to make him uncomfortable. And again, that's the key. Manning's going to win them the game, and Manning's going to lose them the game. He has the ball in his hands. He runs the offense. If the Colts give up 290 yards rushing like they did last year in New England to Corey – who was that? LeGarrette Blount and who else? Some other no-name guy.
Exactly.
Well, one had
guy from Notre Dame.
You can't do that. Yeah. And if those things happen, Peyton Manning will pick them apart all day long, and it'll be a long thing. The other point for the Colts is Andrew Luck has to continue what he did last week. A, he's going to throw for 350 yards, period, mm-hmm. in a sentence.
He has to.
He can't turn the ball over. The Colts were so much more effective when he's not making that silly extra play.
The defense.
And forcing the ball into
places. The defense
that he
played well, and if he doesn't put them in bad spots, then their confidence is through the roof in that regards.
Exactly right.
We
the Colts
will
have
see.
Plenty of weapons that Denver has to defend, too.
No,
we talk about it every Monday. About
players,
how many nine guys in the pass pattern. Trent Richardson should be healthy if that was the reason he was out last week. Again, he helps in the passing game, block and receiving in that. The more weapons, the merrier.
Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, it'll be interesting to see if that Colts offensive line, which, you know, it's had 2 weeks to work itself into this group. They've got the guard and the center are the guys they wanted starting, Holmes and Muhort and Costanzo. So the whole left side is back to what they wanted
Chairless
at the beginning
will be
of the year.
Probably not happening. The high ankle sprain.
No, he's on IR already.
He's done. They put him on IR over the holidays. Yep. I missed that. Okay. Yep. So that's Joe Wright's in at right tackle.
And that's what scares
Lance
you
Lewis
a
didn't have a bad game.
They were both good being physical, and the ball was out of Luck's hands awfully quickly, and that's the smart thing there. We'll see. That has to continue.
And even when they got him around the ankles, he still floated one in the corner to Dante Moncrief.
Luckily, didn't have him too
excellent.
Tight.
Hey, T.Y., quit dropping the ball.
Prediction.
Hey, Kobe Flynn,
prediction time.
Quit dropping the ball. Hey, defensive backs, quit dropping the ball.
Prediction time.
Big-time players have to make big-time plays in big-time games. I'm a Colts homer, dude. The Colts win 27-24.
I hope you're right.
Homer Formby. Remember that? Those painting commercials? That's me. I'm an Andrew Luck. I am driving the bus on Andrew Luck.
I'm not complaining about Andrew Luck.
I'll down with him.
I'll call his mistakes
away.
When he makes them, but I'll take him over anybody in the league. Let's make that real clear. But they'll
on
lose
the
on,
up and up.
They will lose on the road 27 to 13.
Oh, boy. 13 points, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mean.
What about
man.
The other ones? The Patriots get beat?
For the third time in four matches
Baltimore
against
Ravens?
Baltimore? No, I think the Patriots are too good this year. New England wins that game. Seattle wins comfortably against Carolina. And Dallas upsets Green Bay because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
And that's a
big
question.
Big
question with that defensive line. No
and
question.
That's the thing. The tough part about the Packers is they're so good at home, but when it's ice cold, you don't get loosened up and you got muscle problems. You almost want to bruise in that sense.
You've watched that cause Aaron Rodgers problems, and part of his mystique is
and
being able
Dallas
to move the ball.
And after Dallas got every break in America last week, teams like that, Dave, usually ride that wave.
Ravens beat the Patriots on the road with that defensive front
seven.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out. We'll be back Monday, so tune in then, and we will talk to you later. You've been in the zone.